Our study tonight is centered on a statement made in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there at verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 at verse 6. There the text says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I want you to think about that statement as we study together from the Scriptures. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I might ask the question, what's the first thing that you do in time of trouble? We all have problems. We all have trouble from time to time. We don't always try to solve them in the same way. We need to try to figure out what's the best way to solve problems at hand. Obviously, King David had more than his share of trouble. He's pursued by King Saul, hunted basically like a wild animal. He barely escaped assassination several times. Spent much of his time hiding in the wilderness. His family is kidnapped. His friends turn against him. And as is stated here in this text, they're about ready to kill him, about ready to stone him. They spake of stoning him, it says in the text. He suffered the shame of his adultery with Bathsheba, as well as the shame of his taking her husband's life. He didn't himself do that, but he had it done by putting him in the front lines of battle and then soldiers pulling back so that he would be killed. And so he literally is guilty of adultery and murder. His son, Amnon, raped his daughter Tamar. Another son, Absalom, murdered Amnon. And then he led a revolt against David. And then Absalom, son of David, was killed by Joab, David's general. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14. "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak." You remember Absalom was riding on a mule and he went under the limb of an oak tree and his hair got caught and he was there suspended between the limb of the oak and the ground. And so Joab took his life. This is another illustration of the fact that David was certainly a man with a great many problems. But David survived. He's remembered in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, as a man after God's own heart, as the history of the nation of Israel is being given there in that context. It says, "When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David, a man after God's own heart. In fact, I have a lesson that we'll probably do one of these days with that title. David, a man after God's own heart. How was David able to survive? How was David able to be remembered as a man after God's own heart? When there were so many troubles, so many disappointments in his life, very serious sin, of course all sin is serious, but this had a great deal of consequences. Yet he's guilty. But you see, David turned from his sins, and that's some of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to find the answer by considering what David did when he was faced with one of his most serious problems. And that's recorded in the text that we read from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. When his family was taken captive and the city was burned, his wives, his sons, daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were very much overwhelmed with grief. David greatly distressed. So, what did David do in times of trouble? In this context, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6, at this time David was king, not king at this time, but living in Ziklag, having fled from King Saul. He had been actually appointed king, but was not yet recognized as king. He fled from King Saul, and now he's aligned with the Philistines. And they're preparing to battle King Saul. And David and his men had decided to join with this Philistine band. But they didn't fully trust David, so they sent him and his men back to Ziklag. And this is the account we find there in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. This town had been attacked and burned. Women and children kidnapped, along with David's family. And so, we find David very deeply grieved and distressed. And the people are ready to actually take his life. It seems that they thought that David should have been there when he wasn't. But notice, the text says that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When he's lost his family, his life is threatened. The city where he's living has been burned. They're ready to stone him. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. With the strength that he received from God, he was indeed able to deal with whatever the problems he had before him. But the question arises, just what does it mean to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? In an effort to answer that question, I want us to consider some of the Psalms that was written by David during this particular troublesome time, as well as some of the other troublesome times that David experienced. So how did David strengthen himself in the Lord? He composed a number of Psalms. If you look in Psalm chapter 59, particular verses 1 through 4, he composed this psalm while he was pursued by Saul. I want to just turn to some of these psalms and read a few of the verses in these psalms. We'll not take time to read all of them, but just read some excerpts from these psalms. Psalm 59, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. At this time, David is saying, basically, I've done nothing wrong, but they're pursuing me. And so he asked for God's help. As you go on just back a few psalms, in Psalms 56, you'll see there in verses 1 and 2, when he's in prison in Gath, he wrote these words. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now, go back all the way to the third Psalm. And let's read verses 1 and 2 there in the third Psalm. Psalm chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. This is during a time when he's fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom has usurped the throne, and David is now basically in hiding, running from his own son. You're going over to the 63rd Psalm. You'll notice that this one was composed while he's hiding in the wilderness of Judah. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by their sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. This psalm illustrates the fact that David put his trust, his confidence in God. This is how he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He wrote about his dependence upon God and how God would be his help. David trusted in God for help. Go back to Psalms chapter 56 and let's read a few verses in that psalm again. Psalm 56, beginning at verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now notice verses 9 through 11. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. You see, David's trust in God, regardless of what his situation in life might have been, he continued praising God for his help. Again in Psalm chapter 59, there verse 16 through 17, he said, But I will sing for thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. He continued praising God, even though it seemed at times maybe God had abandoned him, but he still relied on God, even though it looked like that maybe God had abandoned him to his troubles. David overcame the problem of loneliness by seeking the Lord. In Psalm 63, there are verses 6 and 7, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. When David put his trust, his confidence in God, he continued seeking the Lord. He prayed to God. As you continue reading there in verses 3 through 5, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Meditating upon the Lord. Praising God and praying to God. David said, in time of trouble, put your trust in the Lord. Stay close to Him. Praise Him. Pray to Him. Do this, and you'll be made strong as the Lord supports you. Notice verse 8 of Psalm 63. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. David received strength from the Lord. So, as David faced his problems, his trials in life, he overcame them with the help that the Lord gave to him. Question that we might raise today. What about us? What do we do in times of trouble? Do we follow God's example, David's example of trusting in God? Of continuing to praise Him and pray to Him? Seeking His help and His strength? Or do we get the disposition, the attitude, oh, just woe is me. I'm so beaten down and life has just gotten me down and there's just nothing in the world that I can do. That seems to be the attitude of so many today. David is a very good example for us, an object lesson of how we ought to deal with our problems of today. Yes, we do face a lot of problems as Christians, our families, personal matters. Some may be related to our jobs. Some may be issues of financial security. There are many, many things that we face in our daily lives, our daily activities, that cause problems for us. We live in a very sick society. Every day on the news we hear of the opioid crisis. In many instances it's because doctors have prescribed medications to control pain. And they become abused. And many doctors refuse to recognize their particular role in this. I don't know the answer to it. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know the answer to all the problems that exist in that particular realm. But I know there's a great deal that affects people all over this country and all over the world in regard to addictions. And many issues that are related to them that people have to face on a regular basis. We have experienced in the news over the past few weeks the account of school shootings where individuals have taken weapons and have taken lives of their fellow students. Some have taken lives of parents. We live in a very sick society. And we as members of the body of Christ are not immune. Some of those problems have an effect on us. Too many leave God completely out of the picture. Some forsake Him completely. They no longer praise Him. They no longer pray to Him on a daily basis. They get the idea that God has just simply forsaken them. That He's no longer available. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is always available. I don't know of any of us that have faced all of the problems and difficulties that David faced. None of us have been hunted like a wild animal, with the king trying everything within his power to take our life. None of us have been deposed by our own children. None of us have gotten to the point where the people that we live with are ready to stone us to death. Yes, we have problems. They're difficult to deal with. But we just simply must remember that God is powerful. And He's able to help us to deal with the problems that we have. When we gather together in assembly such as this afternoon, we are edifying one another. We are expressing our praise and our adoration, our devotion to God. That's part of the reason that we assemble ourselves together, is to praise Him and to pray to Him, to seek His help and to seek His guidance, to seek His strength, to edify and to build one another up. I've heard people make a statement similar to this. Let me get my life straight, then I'll be able to serve God and live for Him. I heard of a fellow one time who kept telling members of the church like that, say, as soon as I get straightened out, I'll be back to services. And somebody observed that when they straightened him out in the casket, he was back in the place of assembly. So let's not wait to get straightened out in the casket to make our lives right before God. Yes, David sinned, but he confessed his sin. When Nathan the prophet came to him and told him this story in regard to his taking Bathsheba, he talked to him about this man who had this poor man that had this little ewe lamb that he had nourished up and brought up in his own bosom as his own child. And this rich man had a visitor come through, and he wouldn't take from his own flocks and herds, but he took this poor man's little ewe lamb and made a meal for this visiting individual. And David was angry. Man has done this thing on repay fourfold. Nathan said, "Thou art the man." David recognized his sin. He had tremendous remorse for what he had done. Sometimes we have to have people to remind us of things that we've done that is in violation of God's law. And if we are the kind of people that we ought to be, then when we are reminded of things that we've done that are not according to God's will, that we will be remorseful like David was. We'll repent of our sins and seek God's forgiveness. We've seen an example of that here this evening. That's the kind of disposition, the attitude that we ought to have. Make sure that we get our lives right with God, and He'll help us to get things straightened out. In fact, the business is we can't straighten them out by ourselves. We have to have God's help to do that. God, in fact, is angered if we try solving problems without Him. God considers such a person cursed. It's passage over Jeremiah chapter 17 there at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see the contrast between the one who does not trust in the Lord, one who trusts in man, who trusts in flesh for his arm, for his health. You see the contrast with that man and the man who puts his trust in God. David talked about that. Blessed is the man, the same kind of man, that puts his trust in God. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's the contrast between the one who puts his trust in God. You see the example of God's displeasure found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 30 there, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They ask for help, but they don't ask help from God. And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. When Israel put their trust and their confidence in Egypt to help them with their enemies, God was angered with them because they didn't put their trust in him. God then promised to frustrate the efforts of Israel to solve her problems by herself, as we read there in verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. This illustrates to us that God is the one in whom we must put our trust. God will frustrate our efforts if we try to solve our problems by ourselves. You go on and read in verse Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1 through 3. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because there are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They put their trust in physical things. They put their trust in people. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Yes, we can help and encourage one another, but our main source of strength is not each other. It's not in man. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to walk to direct his steps. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. The Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. We put our trust and our confidence in men, we're all going to fall. Israel was taught to trust in God, not themselves. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 30 and read verses 15 and 16, he says, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. God said, if you trust in yourself, I'm not going to be with you. But if you put your trust in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't return to the Lord. Today, God wants us to trust him. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The statement sometimes is made, God helps those who help themselves. That's not necessarily true. God helps those who put their trust in him. You remember Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Yes, there's work we must do in making corrections in our life, but we can't save ourselves. We don't have the capability. We noted from Jeremiah 10, verse 23. There is a sense, yes, in which God helps those who help themselves. But we have to help ourselves in harmony with his will, not our own will. You see, there's the difference. When we leave God out of the picture in solving our problems, God leaves us to deal with those problems in our own way and without His help. And it can't be done. In the act of discipline, God might frustrate our efforts to solve our problems independent of His help. Something that we need to think very seriously about. When we try to solve our own problems without God's help, the things that happen to us may very well be God disciplining us. Certainly He disciplined Israel this way. We've noted a number of passages that illustrate that. That God frustrated their plans when they tried to go down to Egypt and seek the help from Egypt. Many times God frustrated their plans because they would not depend on Him. And so He disciplined them. We've been studying about their captivity in Babylon. Judah being carried into Babylonian captivity. This was God's discipline of His people. Simply because they would not submit themselves to His will. They were doing their own things their own way. They were turning to idolatry. Forsaking God. Leaving Him out of their lives. As a result, God disciplined them. And it may very well be, obviously we can't know for sure about the things that happen to us in our lives, as to whether this is God using them to bring us to our senses or not. But many times things that happen in our lives do result in that. They bring us to the realization that what we're actually doing is not in harmony with God's will. And so we need to stop and think very seriously. What we tried to do in our study tonight is learn from one who experienced dealing with problems in times of trouble. David looked to the Lord for strength. In dealing with problems, he put his trust in the Lord. And so we must be steadfast in praising Him and praying to God. Don't forsake Him. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, it helps us to draw near to Him when we're in an assembly such as this and we're singing songs of praise to Him. We're praying to Him. We're studying and meditating on His Word. So let what David said of himself be true of us. In Psalm 63 and verse 8, this is from the New King James Version. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul follows close behind you. New King James Version. Close behind thee, the King James Version says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Be close to the Lord. Stay close to Him. Let His right hand uphold us. Understand that those who trust in God find strength. They find deliverance. They find true, real happiness. Question. Do you trust in the Lord or do you trust in your own strength? What we need to understand is that we must trust in the Lord for deliverance. To deliver us from destruction and eternal hell. Only God can forgive our sins. He does that on the basis of His will. Submitting ourselves completely to Him in all things. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put our trust and our confidence in Him? Let Him direct our paths in all things. Only by doing this will we be blessed of God. Will we be the happy people that David talked about? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly is not going to stand. They're going to be cast into eternal hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you turn to the Lord, as Mary did this very night, you can have forgiveness of your sins and have the kind of happy life that God's promised. Now, it may not be free from pain and suffering, trouble. David's wasn't. But he still referred to as a man after God's own heart, because he put his trust and his confidence in God. Will you tonight do that? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.